But we're going to continue talking about understanding the love walk. And I'll do a quick review because it's been a while and I'm only here this Sunday. Then we're on vacation. So Deacon Bill will be here next Sunday. And then it'll be 2 weeks before I could come back. It's like I want to come, it's like I almost feel like I want to come on a Sunday and a Friday and get through all of this. No. Because just from the praise reports that I'm getting from the folks in Nanuet, that they're being ministered to, and there's things that they just didn't really understand about walking in love and about forgiveness. And about, how many of you actually know that the person that offends you deserves your forgiveness? I mean, they deserve it. I know, you know, you guys are in Nanuet. I know you know. And it doesn't matter what they did. They deserve to be forgiven by you. And we have to understand that. And it's, but you don't know what they did. It doesn't matter what they did. See, I give you a little preview, because you see, it's still, all of this is still very, very big in me. It has nothing to do with what they did and everything to do with who you say you are. Period. Think about it. When Jesus was on the cross, what did he say concerning his murderers? How many of them were down there saying, Jesus, please forgive us? Please, none. When they were stoning Stephen, they want, forgive me. Forgive me. Yet with his last breath, he said, lay not this sin against them. We have to understand that we're called to do the same thing, because Jesus gave us a title and a ministry. He said through the Apostle Paul, we are ambassadors for Christ. And he gave us a ministry of reconciliation. So now how can I, as a minister of reconciliation, and you know that, and you do something, and I refuse to forgive you, but I'm an ambassador for Christ. See, Christ will forgive you, but I won't. And I'm his ambassador. We need to, you know, so when we start seeing things in that light, it'll change the way we think. And we keep wondering, okay, God, you keep speaking, you keep prophesying about great numbers coming through this place in the Poconos and the one in Nanuet. In Nanuet, you're telling us to believe in them all. But we don't see the people. We're not going to see the people until the people can see us doing what I'm going to read in a few minutes, loving one another. I mean, it's just that's, I mean, you think about it. If you were God, would you send the masses to a group of people that haven't perfected the love walk? No, you wouldn't do it. Why infect them? So, yeah, he's going to do what he said concerning Redeeming Love Christian Center. The only question is he going to do it with us? That's the only question. And the only ones who can answer that question is us. And it's not by our words. It's by what we do. Okay? So we're going to talk about the love connection today. All right? That's what we're going to talk about. Yeah, I know it used to be a television program. But it's be a little different than that. And see, the way God gave me that, I was sitting down and I was watching one of the Matrix trilogies. I guess I've already started, Josh. I was watching one of the trilogies. I think it was, I don't remember if it was the last one or the second one. But Neo was stuck in a train station. Couldn't get out for whatever reason. And, you know, in the Matrix, it's this you know, everything's a program. All right. And so he was talking with this program while he's trapped in the station. And the program was talking about how he made a deal because he was concerned for his daughter. And Neil was like, how can you be concerned? You're a program. How can a program think about love? That's a human emotion. And this program responded, love's just a word. It's just a word. What's important is what that word is connected to. Yeah, that's what I said when I heard it. I was like, ooh, okay. I hadn't thought about that before. And then, I mean, I'd seen that movie several times, never heard that line before, never heard it, and didn't hear anything afterward, you know, because now I'm sitting down and I'm just rolling around what he said, and now he's giving me different things to let me know that there is this connection that's involved. But I've jumped ahead. I'm always excited, so you're used to it. Let's go to John 3:16. Because we've been instructed by the Holy Ghost to begin any teaching service reading at least John 3:16. And then after that, we're going to go to John 13 because he told me, at least for this year, to include John 13, verses 34 and 35. Yet John 3, let's read verse 16 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then he says in the Amplified Bible in John 13, I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. And that's, love is not a one and done thing. You have to keep on showing love among yourselves. And we looked at, several weeks ago, we looked at Proverbs 4, and we know the word says, get wisdom, get understanding. It tells us that wisdom is the principal thing, but with all you're getting, get understanding. And when we look in Matthew, in the parable of the sower, we find out when you hear the word and you don't understand it, the enemy can come in and take away what was sown in your hearts. So we used to read that and say, well, he'll take away that word that was sown. No, the scripture said he will take away that which was sown in your hearts. And the way that could work is, you know, usually folks don't have a challenge believing that they saved. Sometimes they have a challenge believing that they're healed because they don't understand with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you were healed. We think that means we're never supposed to go through anything. And suppose we go through something, and it hangs around, it's just nagging, and we start doubting whether or not we healed. And we stop talking healed language and start talking sick language. And find ourselves getting worse. And I know it's not correct English, but we get worser and worser. Okay. And then we start thinking, we say, well, maybe that's not what the scripture meant. And you start thinking that long enough and you start thinking about your salvation. Maybe that means something too. Maybe, you know, the Bible was talking, you know, philosophically. Or something. Just because you didn't understand with the stripes of Jesus Christ, you were healed. So it's very important that we get understanding in everything pertaining to what God says, because we don't want to be in you know, stand the chance to have everything that we know taken away from us. Just because of our own ignorance. And that's not a negative term, because ignorance just means it's something you don't know. The great news is ignorance is cured by education. That's why the word says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if God says rightly dividing, as Pastor Clinton taught us, you could also wrongly divide. Okay. The Good News Translation says get insight. And it says insight tells you, insight is what lets you know how and when and to use what you have learned. You know, insight gives you your practical applications. It takes the word out of the book and puts it in everyday life. And he said you need to get that kind of insight. Then we looked at Ephesians 2. In the Amplified Bible, and it tells us, walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. And he told us in Ephesians 5, in the Message Bible, same verses, says how I like this translation. It says, observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. And then the Message Bible goes on to say, love like that. Love like that. And from that, we got the understanding that love is not a two-way street. It's not. It's a one-way street, and we gave that street a name. We called it God's Way. Right? That's the name of the street. Because we're supposed to love even if we get nothing in return. Then we got a different understanding, some of you remember, about tough love. So we think tough love is a Christian way to beat up on people. No, that's not the way God wants us to use that term. By definition, and I'm just putting love in there just in sake of time since this part is a review. It's love that is strong and durable. Because that's what something that's tough is. It's strong and it's durable. You know, they have these tough man competitions on TV, these big, strong guys that just endure. It's love that's not easily broken or cut because it's tough. It's love that's not brittle or tender. It means it can't get hurt. It's not easily hurt because it's tough. It's going to stick it out. It's love that's capable of great endurance, and it's love even when it's difficult to chew. It just hangs in there because it's not going anywhere. It's tough. And so when we encounter someone who's acting ugly, we need to get tough and love them the same way Christ loved us. That's his definition for us of tough love. And he proved it when he encountered Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus, because he was a little guy, he was up in the tree, and Jesus came by, and Jesus stopped and looked at him and said, Zacchaeus, I must spend time with you. Well, the Bible refers to him in some translations as the chief sinner. Okay. So Jesus walking by and say, hey, chief sinner, I got to spend time at your house. And I'm sure all the people, like the children, are like, ooh. Jesus is going to the sinner's house? You know, why is he going there? Then they start peeking, probably figure out that, you know, Jesus had something to hide. But Jesus went there, and he didn't beat the man up. He didn't even tell the man about himself. He didn't say, you know you're cheating the people, and it's wrong. You need to get your hips in line, or you're going to bust hell wide open. Okay? I mean, he didn't, but that's the way we talk to some people. I know mommy's, I mean, she'd tell you that in a minute. In a minute. I mean, it was like, boy, if I can do that, it must not be a big place. You know, but all Jesus did was fellowship with Zacchaeus. And as a result of his fellowship, Zacchaeus stood up and said, I'm going to give half of what I own to the poor. And anybody that I've cheated, I'm going to pay them back four times as much. Why? Because Jesus just fellowship with them, just loved them. And that love was conviction enough. And he was, I didn't realize the lesson that, you know, the times that I've read that account, it wasn't until studying, you know, out this love walk where I saw that Jesus was modeling a behavior for us. He was modeling a behavior. He wants us to stop convicting. He wants us to stop accusing. He wants us to stop pointing fingers and just start loving folks. Just start fellowshipping with folks. That's what he wants. Because that fellowship convicts. And it'll cause people to make changes. Zacchaeus, he didn't even say to Zacchaeus, look, I'm here today, but if you ever want me to come back, you better clean up your act, buddy. Okay. He didn't do any of that. He just fellowshiped with them. And from that, God showed us, he said, tough love doesn't choke or beat the sin out of you. It doesn't do that. Tough love pouring in flushes sin out. And that's what we need to understand. When we display that kind of tough love, it's on a search and remove mission. It gets into the person, and anything that's right, it gets rid of. It gets rid of. Because a person realizing that love doesn't want to do anything against you. Because everybody wants to feel that kind of love. Everybody. I don't care how rough they think they are, that kind of love breaks through everything. You think water over the years is powerful? I mean, they carved out all these mountains. Well, love will break down the mountains. Okay, we need to understand that. And that's why God talks about it so much. No one should ever encounter us and leave feeling unloved. Ever. Ever. That's what God is looking for from us, his people. Then we start thinking about that and we say, wow, God, you're expecting a lot of us. And yeah, he is, but he's also given us the capacity to do it. Romans 5:5, I believe, tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is in us. And I looked up, if you may remember, I looked up that word in the concordance, that term shed abroad, and it means largely distributed, poured in, largely distributed. And the analogy God gave us, like when you're baking a cake, you don't take all the ingredients, form them into a pan, and then pop it in the oven. No, you mix it. You need to make sure that all the ingredients are evenly distributed. Then when the heat comes on, you get something great. But if it's not distributed, the heat comes, you get a mess. Well, the Holy Ghost pours God's love into our heart and then mixes it so that it fills our heart. And when it fills our heart, you could say it becomes the abundance of our heart. And the Bible tells us out of the abundance of our heart, our mouths speak. And if our mouths are speaking it, guess what's going to follow? Action. So we've already been given the capacity to do it. We know the scriptures that tell us in Philippians that my God shall supply all your need. He wasn't just talking about money. Because the word said all your financial need. He said all your need. That means anything that we need to walk in love, God will provide. Period. And we need to stop looking for it and just operate as if we have it, because we do. It's not based on how we feel, okay? Because we may look at a situation and not feel that we can walk in love, but we can, because it's already been, the means has already been provided for us to do so. So we have to understand that we have the capacity to do those things. Then we went to Ezekiel. Please go there. Very, very, not that any of the other scriptures are less important, but Ezekiel 11. Because this is where we live, so to speak. I'm sharing it out of the Amplified Bible. God is speaking, and he said, and I will give them, 19. Ezekiel 11, verse 19. And I will give them one heart, a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take the stony, unnaturally hardened heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, sensitive and responsive to the touch of their God. And we found out, because when you first read that, you get excited and say, okay, God's given me a heart that's going to be sensitive and responsive to him. That's not what it says. It said to the touch of their God. So he gave us this new heart, which will be sensitive to whomever we decide is God. That's why we get caught up in carnal things, because that's why some of us wind up with the wrong person, because we've given our heart away. And it wasn't under the direction of the Holy Ghost. It was under the direction of our own physical emotions or carnal desires. But God says that he's given us a heart, and that heart has the ability to respond to him. The key is if we will let it. And that's backed up by John 17, verse 26. In the Amplified Bible again, Jesus said, I have made your name known to them. He's talking to God. God, I've made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self. And I will continue to make you known that the love which you has bestowed upon me may be in them, felt in their hearts. So Jesus even said, I've done everything that I'm supposed to do so you can feel God's love in your heart. So again, he's given us the capacity. The question remains, who's Lord of your heart? That's the only question. If Jesus is truly Lord of your heart, you'll walk in love toward everyone. If he's not, you won't. And the problem is, we treat it like that game, the Hokey Pokey. We jump in and jump out and then get shaken all about, and we wonder why. Okay? Well, because we haven't let Jesus remain Lord of our hearts. See, we cannot be in Christ. We cannot have Jesus as Lord of our heart and refuse to walk in love. We can't. So it means for that moment, we change lords. We can't display godly character that doesn't exist. I mean, and walking out of love is not godly character. Walking out of love is of the adversary. So when we choose to walk out of love, we're like, okay, Dad, I know you're my real dad, but this requires the other guy, because you won't handle this the right way. So, and we step over into anger and rage and all of those other things. And then after we've gotten it out of our system, then we say, I repent, I'm back. You know, no. You know. And the great thing about it is God's so loving, he's already forgiven you for it. But what damage have you done? You know, what's the collateral damage of your actions? You don't know. You may see it in this individual, but you don't know. You don't know who they've shared with. You don't know what a number of people that they actually influence. So we have to be mindful, folks, how we act. We can't afford to let cares and anxieties and all the other stuff, you know, in this world, we can't allow that to get into our hearts. Because I'm probably the only one in here like this, but when I start getting over into concerning myself with other stuff, the last thing I'm thinking about is you. And the last thing I'm going to be bothered with is anybody. I want to stay over in my little worry world, you know, until everything works out. That's okay. I know I'm the only one. But I have to get out of that so I can walk in love. And if I don't understand what it means, I won't do it. But going back to what that program said to Neo, that love is just a word, but what's important is the connection that that word implies. See, when you say to someone, I love you, what does that mean? you know, does that mean I have these funny feelings about you? You know, what is, it should mean as a believer, it should mean that I have this love in me from God that can't help but come out towards you. It just can't help it because I'm connected with God. The problem is that we don't see that connection. Let's look, we're going to spend a little time in John 15. Verse 9. Let's read it together. John 15, verse 9. Are you there? Let's read it. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. See, that scripture is both informative and it gives a command. That's what it is. What's the information? Right. Right. Jesus said, I love you the same way God loves me. What's the command? To stay in my love. Stay connected to my love. Why? That's the only way you'll be able to dispense it. The only way. What does it say in 15:1? You have to be connected to the vine. Jesus said, he's the vine, we're the branches. Well, the love from God flows into the vine and flows from the vine into us, the branches. And once it gets in us, the branches, then it gets dispensed into the people. But that connection has to be intact. If that connection is broken, we won't be able to show the love that we're supposed to show because we won't have it in us. See, when you look at as the Father has loved me, and you know me, I go to Strong's and I look up everything and anything, and that means according as the Father has loved me, just as the Father has loved me, even as the Father has loved me, in the same proportion that the Father has loved me, to the same degree that the Father has loved me, I love you. That's what Jesus is saying to us. Exactly the way Father loves me, I love you. So if you think that God thought Jesus was something special, Jesus thinks we're something special. And both are right. Okay. But it's important to understand it's the same way. Remember John 1:1? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. Listen to it in the Phillips translation. I think it'll help you understand how this connection. At the beginning, God expressed himself. That personal expression, that word, was with God and was God. Jesus Christ was the expression of God. Now, how many of us can be separated from our expression? Okay. You and your expression are the same. Are the same. You cannot be disconnected. Jesus cannot be disconnected from God. We shouldn't be disconnected from Jesus Christ. And as long as we stay connected to Jesus Christ, guess who else we're connected to? God. We've got this triangle thing going on. And as long as that connection is intact, love will just keep flowing from us. Keep flowing. Unending source. Not polluted. You know, not like water system was down here for, I don't know, like 8 months. Couldn't use the water because it had to be filtered and you know, the UV system was out. But when we stay connected, there's no impurity there. That is our filter. That is our UV system. And the only thing that comes out is pure love. That's it. And how do you know pure anything is better than diluted? Much stronger. There's some medicines that we take where if we took them in their pure form, we'd leave here. I mean, that's what it is. There's some compounds where it says dilute, use 1 teaspoon to 1/4 water. I mean, that's because the pure stuff is so powerful, you can't handle it. Well, it's not so with God's love. It's pure. And it's the only way it should be dispensed. It's pure. There should be a note on it that says, do not dilute in any way. Okay? That's the way. It's God's pure love should come out. That's what caused Zacchaeus and his whole household to be saved. That pure, unadulterated love. You know, they say Ivory Soap is pure. You look at that, it says 99.44%. Okay? Like, that's not 100%. Okay? But it's so pure, it floats. Yeah, it floats away. Right? No, our love is supposed to be 100% pure, and it stays where it was directed. It doesn't go anywhere, and it keeps on working, and keeps on working, and keeps on working. And then after a period of time, you notice that that same rough-looking person doesn't look so rough anymore. And it seems those sharp edges seem to have rounded somehow. Okay? You go, you could hug them, and you don't have to go, ouch, because you're getting pricked. Why? Because you've been dispensing pure love, and it's been doing what it was designed to do. It's just that simple. I mean, it's just that simple. And it's kind of hard to understand, you know, and to wrap ourselves around it because we get emotional. And we sometimes revert to what others have said. But the other part of that, he says, continue in my love. Remain in my love. Abide in my love. Do not depart from my love. Continue to be present in my love. Be held continually by my love. Remain as one with my love. Don't become different. And I thought that was key. Do not become different. Stay my love. That's what it's saying. No matter what happens, you stay the God kind of love. Because there's a lot going on that could cause you to want to leave. Listen to these in some different translations. The Amplified Bible. And I like them all. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. Continue in God's love with Christ. God's Words translation says, live in my love. That's what it says. Live in my love. The Contemporary English Version says, remain faithful to my love for you. Remain faithful to it. See, if we're remaining faithful to it, we'll do what it says. And we won't do anything that will contradict it. The Message Bible. I repent. This one, I think, is my favorite. It says, make yourselves at home in my love. See, you know, you go someplace and visit, and you know, people that they have these living rooms. I don't know why they call them living rooms. They never go in there and live. But sometimes you go in and you look at this living room, and all the furniture is covered with this plastic. Okay. And you're supposed to, you know, you want to go there and sit down, but you know, you got all this plastic thing going on, and they say, oh, but have a seat. And you're like you're like sitting because you don't know what to do. First of all, when you move, you from all the plastic. And if it's the summertime and you try and leave, you're stuck to it, you know, from it. And you're saying, How can I be comfortable in that? No. But no, God says, make yourself at home in my love. So see, you go to God's love, and he doesn't mind if you move the chair where you want, and you just, you don't have to, you just, yeah, this is what I'm talking about, you know, yeah. I mean, that's what God wants us, how he wants us to be concerning his love. See, I don't even care if the seat doesn't go back in the same marks. That's why I like the Message Bible. It says, make yourself at home. Act like you belong there. That's what it's saying. Act like it's yours. I mean, that's what it is. How many of you are married? Okay. Okay. Good. Glory to God. Okay. Do you act like you're married when you go to greet your spouse? When I greet Deacon Phyllis, honey, would you come here for a minute? It was fishing. Well, it has to be Deacon Phyllis. Okay. I can't make myself at home with anybody else. All right. Then I'll say, oh, good morning, honey. How's everything? All right. Have a blessed day. No. It's, hey. You can do this. Yeah. I'm telling you, I make myself at home. Okay. I can do that. God is saying, be that way with his love. He wants us to be that intimate with his love. I can't help but love the woman. I can't, because of this connection that we have. It needs to be that way. Whatever. We can't help but love anybody because of this connection that we have through Christ to God, flowing out to all of God's people. It said, so for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. And Jesus turned around and said, the same way God sent me, I'm sending you. Okay. So we're supposed to so love. And I think it was verse 17 says, God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. And Jesus sent us the same way. So he didn't send us to condemn anybody either. But that the whole world should be saved. That by experiencing our love, the world will receive Jesus Christ and be saved. That's this love connection thing that we have going on, folks. And we have to understand our love, the love pouring out of us, is proof that we're Christ's disciples. It's proof. Because the world will look at it and say, how can they treat each other like that unless there's not something spiritual about them? Maybe this Jesus stuff they're talking about is true. Either way, I need to find out some more. And so they'll continue to watch. Not while you're sitting in church. They're going to watch while you're out there. They're going to watch. We have a new member who used to work in a drugstore, where we used to go and get medication for mom. And there are several times that they made some bonehead mistakes. Not giving the wrong medications, just in how they were handling it and different things. And you're standing there, and you want to say, is there anybody in here with a brain? You know, I mean, you do. It's like, this is enough already. But you don't do that. You stand there, and you smile, and you hear the explanation, and say, okay. No, I understand, but it's very important that you get this right, and we can't always come back and, you know, all these things. So we know things go wrong. And you're like, you're so understanding. You're so nice, you know. And I'm like, inside it's like, okay, I'm nice, but get the right place, you know. Well, that person became a member. Now, suppose I'd gone there and exploded. And God directs them to come to this place called Redeeming Love Christian Center. And they walk in, could be sitting right on the front row, and who comes out at the pastor? Me. And they're probably wondering, okay, if I move, he'll probably hit me based on how he acted before. But if I, Lord, if you get me out of this place, I swear I'm not coming back here again. I mean, that, we don't understand that. But folks are watching us, and they will remember. They may see you standing in a position of authority. That's why we've adopted a practice where if you have something that's going on that's not quite right, and it, you know, just sit down for a while, work it out, get back in position. And we're not doing that to punish anyone. We're protecting your witness and the ministry's witness. That's what we're doing. Folks, they may see you treating your spouse horribly in public. And then they come to church, and you're like, praise the Lord. Come on, and they see you walking all together. And they're like, that's not what I saw before. You know, I mean, we have to understand those things. We have to understand we have this connection going, and we can't break it because we already know who needs it. Everybody. So when we break it, who's affected? Everybody. And we don't know to what degree. In Acts 4, when you know they were interrogating Peter and John, and the way they were speaking, they said, now these are just ordinary guys. Ain't nothing special about this bunch. They must have been with Jesus. So they said, they must have been with Christ. How they, what made their actions, how they responded, the boldness and confidence by which they spoke to those in authority who had the power to say, take them out and stone them to death. Didn't even care. Didn't even know. These guys must be with Christ. To the fact, Gamaliel said to, later on, he said, no, leave these men alone. Okay. Because if what they're saying is of Christ, is of God, you won't be able to stop it. And you don't want to find yourself fighting against God. What made them think that? Their actions. See, we have to understand our actions will speak volumes as to who we really are. It doesn't matter what I say. You're going to judge me based on what you see me do or what you've heard about me doing, hopefully from a reliable source. Okay. Not somebody that was disgruntled. But in that account, back in the subway station with Neo in this program, after he made that statement, he said, love, it's, you know, it's just a word. What's important is the connection that word implies. Then he looked at Neo and he said, you're in love. And Neo said, yes, I am. Then he asked him a very important question. What would you do to hold on to that connection? And that's the same question for us. What will we do to keep that connection, to protect that connection, to make sure it remains solid? What will we do? What are we willing to say or not say? What are we willing to do or not do? Just what are we willing to give up? What are we willing to take on just to maintain that love connection? Because we deem it as being valuable. Is it valuable enough that you let someone curse you out? Undeservedly. I mean, we don't like it when we deserve it, but I mean, that was a stronghold for me. I didn't mind being accountable for anything I did, but you put your life on the line, you accuse me of something I didn't do. Really, I was ready to go to the death because I didn't do it. And I didn't want to pound the love into anybody. I just wanted to pound them. You're not going to accuse me of doing something I didn't do it. No. And I would get very belligerent. And I have to understand. Will I do it for Christ's sake? Will I allow myself to be wrongly accused? For Christ's sake. After all, the scripture says the servant is not greater than his Lord. and they accuse Christ. So if I will not allow myself to tolerate that, I'm putting myself above my Lord. And I can't do that. Not and stay true to who I am, and not and stand in front of you and tell you what thus saith the Lord, and he saith it's to you only if, but not me if. I can't do that. So what are you willing to put up with to maintain that connection? That's the question that I can't answer for you. You have to ask yourself that question, and you're the ones that have to answer it. Because now you understand that you have this love connection thing going, and the integrity of the connection is your responsibility, not God. He's already done what he's supposed to do. He's poured it into Christ, who's poured it into us. We have to hold on to it. We're the ones that can't let it go. See, I thought it was interesting when the scripture says that nothing, you know, who shall separate us from the love of God. You know what it doesn't mention? Us. It talks about, you know, sickness and death and, you know, all this other stuff. But it doesn't say we can't do it. It doesn't cover our own will. And so if you're not feeling the love of God, it's on you. Because you're the only one that can separate you. And it doesn't stop reaching out to you. You just keep running away so that it can't get hold of you. Right. That's a good word. You reject it. You get there, you put here's a mirror right back at you, God. I don't want it right now. All right. I mean, that's what we do. And then we wonder why folks aren't attracted to this gospel. We say we know this is the only way, but right now for me, there's a better way. Because after all, nobody is going to hurt me like that again. I don't care. Jesus Christ himself would have to stand in front of me and tell me to love this person, and then I'll think about it. Okay? I mean, that's the attitude that we take because of what people have done and is wrong. God didn't give us any conditions that were permissible to keep from walking in love. As a matter of fact, I do recall him saying specifically, love your enemies. I do recall him saying, if your enemy hungers, feed him. And didn't say feed him poison-laced food. Okay? Said feed him. And in doing so, you'll heap hot coals on them. And you say, yeah, that's right, I'm going to feed them and burn them up. No, it's going to convict them. Okay? That's what it's for. To convict them. How can they do this to me after what I've done to them? I can't continue treating them like this. I can't. And next thing you know, they're standing in front of you saying, look, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I don't know. I shouldn't have done this. You know, there's a program that I watched sometime. First, I really was intrigued by it because I wanted to see what it was about. It's called Bully Beatdown. You've probably seen it, right? Yeah. I know I can count on you. Okay. And all it is that people that have been just tortured by a bully. So they invite the bully, give him an opportunity to win $10,000 to face an MMA fighter. And if he loses the money that he doesn't win, he has to give to the people he's been tormenting. And so there are times when folks get, I mean, these MMA fighters don't play. And the bully gets a taste of what it is to be bullied. And they make a choice. They go and they look, there hadn't been one episode that I'm aware of where the bully said, look, I'm still going to do it. They're like, no, please forgive me. I was wrong. Well, You don't have to beat the stuffing out of somebody to get to that place. You can just pour out the love of God and it will have the same effect. The same effect. Where they'll just come and they'll say, look, I was wrong. I apologize. And the other reason why you can't break the connection, and I don't think I put this in notes. No, I didn't. You don't know who God is going to connect you to for ministry. You don't know. So you cannot take a position against any particular group. You cannot. Because you don't know. I share with you, the fact that Pastor Ed and I are co-pastors is a miracle of God when you consider what I went through with Caucasian folks growing up. I had every right to hate them. Every right. I'm going into the seventh grade and they're stoning my school bus because they don't want me to go to school in their community. But every person before I met Pastors Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, every person that helped me develop and grow as a person and as a business person was Caucasian. Every single one. Richard Laub from Secure Alarm Company gave me money to help toward our marriage. I'd known him for 2 months. How everything going? I said, well, we believe in God. Here. Gave us a car. The company car that he gave us, we're going down to Christmas or Thanksgiving? Christmas. And the clutch went. We're stuck on the turnpike. Had it towed, called him. He said, can you get back to Seagate? Like, yeah, he said, come, I'll give you my wife's car so you can go. We don't want you to miss that time. Didn't have to do that. Didn't have to do that. But if I were prejudiced, first of all, I wouldn't have been working for him. You know what I mean? But that, and so we can't jump on these kind of bandwagons because we didn't know. I didn't know when I was in the seventh grade that God was going to use Peter Cordero and Bob Weiss and George Bolano to pour stuff into my life and Richard Laub. But I didn't know that. But God did. I didn't know that I was going to be paired with Pastor Ed. But God did. You don't know who God's going to pair you with. You don't know. You don't know who's going to come and assist you. You don't know. Are you going to reject it because you don't like what they did or what they stand for? You need to think about that. We'll confess the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Well, your child's getting ready to go to college, and the money hasn't manifested, and a homosexual comes and says, God told me to give this to you. I want this homosexual money. Nuh-uh. Not me. You need to get saved first. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if they just want to come up to you and just talk? What are you going to do? You're going to think, I don't want anybody to see me with them. But that's what we do. And get spiritual about it. The Bible says, don't let your good be evil spoken of. So nobody's going to speak anything evil because I'm talking to this known homosexual or this known adulterer or this known child molester. I mean, those are all, you know, there's some horrific things that people do. How many, you remember what happened in Aurora, Colorado? One person was shot 3 times. And newspapers questioned him. And I guess they thought they would get some real juicy venom from this guy. He was shot 3 times. He said, of course I forgive him. They didn't know he was talking to someone that worked for a mission. So of course I forgive him. And I want to see him someday. And the first thing I'm going to say is, I forgive you. And the second thing I'm going to say is, can I pray for you? Because he's just a lost soul. There was a seven-year-old girl shot 6 times to protect her mother. So if a person's going to shoot her mother, she jumps in front to shield her mother. Why? She loved her mother and didn't care if it cost her life. Well, it didn't. But she took 6 bullets for her mother just because she loved her. What are you willing to do to maintain that connection? It means you take 6 bullets or 3 bullets or a whole lot of guff from fellow believers. What are you willing to give? What are you willing to do to make sure that that love connection with God stays tight, stays strong? As usual, he's taking me way ahead. I'm going to close with this. The only question remaining is, how do you do it? I mean, that's the only question. He's like, yep, that sounds great. Pastor, I'm buying into all of it. How do I do this? Sounds like it's hard. Well, look at Deuteronomy 30. I want to read it in the King James. King James says, verse 11, "For this commandment which I command you this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it far off." Well, when you read it in modern translation, it says, "This commandment that I give you today, it's not hard to do." So we have to understand, first of all, if God said it, it's not hard. God's not going to tell us to do anything that's hard to do. If he said you can to do this, you need to understand that you can do it. See, maintaining that love connection is a choice. Remember what we read in Ezekiel 11, how God he took away the old unnatural heart and gave us a heart that has the capability to respond to him. Jesus keeps revealing it to us so that God's love can be felt in our hearts. Jesus already told us to continue in his love, but in John 15, verse 10, he said something else. He said, "If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love." So what do you have to do to maintain that connection? What God says. That's really all you have to do. It's not hard. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. Do it. That's what it says right here in John 15, 10. I'm in the Amplified Bible. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. And if you need something that will really just put a period there for you, Ecclesiastes 12. Verse 13, but shared in God's Words translation, says, "After having heard it all, this is the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments," because this applies to everyone. The Message Bible really makes it plain. The Message Bible, I'm going to read verse 13 and the first 3 words of verse 14 together, because that just seals it. Then I'm going to quit. The Message Bible, Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and the beginning of 14, it says, the last and final word is this. Fear God, do what he tells you, and that's it. That's it. Reverence God. Do what he tells you. You'll keep that love connection. That's it.